All right, I want to move on now, talk about more cases and papers. And I thought, Dr. Quinn, we could start with your patient, the 67-year-old woman.
So this is a 67-year-old lady who originally presented in 2007 and had a nephrectomy, which was a T3A nuclear grade 2 out of 4, who declined an adjuvant therapy trial, the ASSURE trial at that time. She recurred in 2010 with some lung lesions, which progressed on a subsequent scan. And then she was treated with sunitinib for a period of time until she progressed with a new bone met in her scapula in early 2012. And she then got stereotactic radiation and a bisphosphonate. And she progressed subsequently to that in the lung within about 2 months.
Could I just maybe hold off for a second there and maybe go around the table a little bit in terms of the question of how you approach second-line therapy in a patient who's gotten sunitinib or pazopanib up front, and what you might be thinking in a patient like this. Dr. Stadler?
So for patients who have been on a VEGFR TKI for quite some time and who have progressed, and this time, it's a clear progression. I mean, there's new lesions. This isn't just a sort of slow growth. I think that the question that always comes up is, do I try a second or a different VEGFR TKI, or do I move to an mTOR inhibitor? And it's not necessarily clear to me what the right thing to do is. There is a tendency, based on some of the randomized data, to move to a second VEGFR TKI. I'm always a little bit cautious because I think, as we may want to talk about here, is that those randomized trials, the definition of progression may have been a little bit different than this kind of progression where the patient has true new lesions.
So, sort of generally speaking, what are the agents that you use in this situation?
I think that, the agents that I think about in terms of a second VEGFR would be, either pazopanib or axitinib.
And Dr. McDermott, what are your thoughts in terms of second-line therapy and how you decide between a second VEGF TKI and everolimus?
Well, I have similar thoughts to Walt. I mean, there's not great head-to-head data yet with the two approved second-line agents. We don't have a comparison of everolimus and axitinib. It would be good if we did, and we could look at the relative value. So we can only infer from other trials and how to use these agents. Generally, if someone has tolerated a VEGF drug and has gotten a benefit, we often will follow with a second VEGF drug, whereas if they had grown quickly through a VEGF strategy or didn't tolerate it well, we might switch to a different class of agents. But most patients during their course will see both strategies, and I'm not sure it matters exactly what you do second, because eventually if they didn't get a TOR inhibitor second, they're going to eventually get a TOR inhibitor as part of their course. The other thing I would say as well is we often want to completely exhaust treatment one before we go on to treatment two. So we'll see what David did here, but oftentimes if someone has a bone met and it's isolated, you'll treat it with radiation and surgery and continue them on the drug. You might add a bisphosphonate, and that brings into a question of our patients are living so much longer. We didn't have these problems 10 years ago. You have to look for them. You have to be on the lookout for both bone and brain mets, not necessarily as routine scanning, but at least once a year in these people who are living longer. You sort of want to try to get a sense of, is there going to be a problem in the bone that you may not be aware of initially? So we do regular imaging of bones once a year.
Dr. Moser, how do you think through second-line therapy in a patient who received a VEGF TKI up front?
Well, I think the first established paradigm for benefit was everolimus based on the Record 1 trial of everolimus versus placebo. So for the most part in the past, patients who progressed on sunitinib or pazopanib, I switched them over to everolimus. I think that one of the attractive features of that to me was that it's a different mechanism of action. And also, I think, many patients seem to tolerate everolimus quite well. That's kind of come into question now a little bit because of the fact that we do have multiple options. I mean, I think other options for patient are axitinib or even sorafenib remains an option. And I think if as long as the patients can receive three lines of therapy, I'm not so sure that it differs whether they get mTOR or VEGF targeted therapy or second or third. And I kind of base it upon their tolerability and their comorbidities. But the one study that has kind of raised the question for me is Tom Hudson's study, where the temsirolimus was compared to sorafenib, and the group that got the sequential TKI lived longer than the temsirolimus group. So although you can't make a direct comparison or extension to everolimus versus axitinib, it raises the question for me that, you know, continued VEGFR inhibition is important for patients to maximize survival.
You mentioned axitinib and sorafenib, and you mentioned earlier you often start with pazopanib. Will you ever follow pazopanib up with sunitinib?
I haven't, because of the fact that there are other drugs out there which have been studied that have provided evidence in second or third line therapy. So I usually choose one of those.